Learn from parenting and career experts.
There is no such thing as perfect parenting.
Raising yourself up is important. You're not just raising your child.
Yes.
You and your wife are also raising your own selves as parents now.
Most parents were concerned that once the child grows up, will that child respect them anymore?
Children will learn from how you behave rather than what you teach them.
Welcome to Career Uninterrupted Podcast, brought to you by Off Experiences, production partner Done For You Podcasts.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Career Uninterrupted. Here we will be talking about women, careers and parenthood. I'm your host, Lochan Narayanan, founder and CEO of Off Experiences. Our guest for today is Sushant Kalra. Sushant is a renowned parenting coach and founder of Parvarish Institute of Parenting. He's often addressed as the Messiah of families. He's worked and empowered more than 2.5 lakh parents across the globe with his interactive workshops. He's the author of a book, Perfect Parenting, the parenting manual that helps parents find their unique, perfect blend of parenting for their unique family setups. He's a multiple times TEDx speaker who specializes in empowering parents and teachers in nurturing the limitless potential of children. Sushant is a global presence ambassador for Parenting 2.0, an international consciousness movement that promotes proactive education for life skills, and also the winner of the Courageous Class Award by Kenneth Cole Foundation for the work done in the field of empowering parents and educators. Today, we are going to be exploring with Sushant the world of parenting and also the challenges and strategies around balancing work with effective parenting, something that a lot of working parents today are asking themselves and struggling with. So we are here talking to Sushant, getting maybe, hopefully, some more answers to those questions. Welcome, Sushant. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this episode with us. And thank you for being here.
Thanks, it's a pleasure, and thanks for taking it to parents, specifically in the corporate life. And as you said, corporate people, this is where I and my wife belong. That's where I started my career. So really great to be with people from the same zone.
So since you said this is where you belong and this is where you started your career, why don't we start a little bit about your journey? So what inspired, you know, how did this journey come about? What inspired you to become a parenting coach?
I would call it a paradox of life. And I say life is full of paradox, and that's the great thing about life. So from doing parenting 24/7 for the last 15 years now, like in office, at work, it's parenting parents to parent their children, and post office, post work, it's parenting your own children. I started the journey from a resolve, by the way, between me and my wife, that we don't want to be parents. And when we got married, that's almost 30 years back, we were so clear that we are not going to have children. It was not an agreement, it was like a tacit agreement between two of us that bringing up children is a tough job, is a thankless job. And when I saw parents around myself, my friends, family, cousins, everybody, it was like, it's nothing is happening here. It's like trouble. People are only talking about, ye khata nahi hai, sota nahi hai, sunta nahi hai, ye padhta nahi hai. And when they grow up, he's gone into a wrong company. Now it's gone. And when I used to talk to their children, they used to say, yeah, parents don't have anything else to do. If we are sleeping, they want us to get up. When we are up, they want us to sleep. If they are sitting like this, you should sit like that. If you play like this, you should not do this. You should do this. 24/7, they don't have anything else but to be on our case. And then we looked at each other and said, yeah, there's no point. Get a life in this world, spoil it for yourself and them. So we won't have a kid. And I said, as being a member of a big, huge Punjabi family in North India, it's impossible to get married and not have children. So we thwarted like the social pressures for about 6-7 years. But then finally we gave in. And when Monica was pregnant with Aman, is when I said that I don't know parenting and I'm not going this way. And then started the research, the reading, the observations. That's where it started. It was 1999. First 4-5 years, when we, whatever we thought of and we did with Aman, was a breeze. So as I said, I was a vice president with Max Life Insurance. My wife was working with American Express at that time. So we said, yeah, if we who spend about 17, 18 hours working every day, including our travel time, if we can do it, anybody else can. And 2005 is when I first did a workshop. I got in a few people to learn how to coach people. We didn't know. I had no idea about it. So I got hold of actually the trainer who was with us in Max Life Insurance and told him, how do you train? How do you create a training program? So he supported me in the first session. And the response was pretty great. I went mad about it. I said, this is like responses coming from parents and response coming from principals of school that this is making sense. So 2008 is when I finally quit my job and I said, let me try this out. Let me coach parents. At that point of time, all I had was a four-hour workshop and I jumped. And the reason of the jump, the support for the jump was that my wife was working. She said, yeah, if you want to do something in life, do it. I'll take care of the household expenses. I stay with my parents. The house I don't have to buy. So I'm still with them. So I don't even pay rent for it. So I thought that when all these things are going good for me, I can take a chance in life. And from there, when it started to work, it was very tough. First 4 years was like crazy. But then I got people from child development, human development, child psychology, psychology, background people to work together and created this whole perverse child development model. So it's been 15 years of intensive research, development work.
Effectively, your journey started, I would say, you know, in 1999 when, and you're talking about conscious parenting or even being an aware parent. I think the word conscious parenting has become a buzz in the last 5-6 years. But even just as an aware parent, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to just be present in what's happening, would be at a time when maybe your peers were not doing this, right? Like, and they would be looking at you and say, ki kya hai, aise thodi hota hai. You know, if the child is not eating, just give him, maybe, I don't know, one tight whack, but, you know, maybe, you know, give him a screen or just, you know, show him like birds and bees and or whatever, all those things and just ensure that the child eats, right? Or someone's running around the house and doing all of this. So how did you manage that? And of course, my question following that is starting something like parenting coaching in 2008, which is still, I would say, very nascent. I would say India is still very nascent when it comes to parenting as a concept or coaching and parenting coaching as a concept. So how did these two time spaces work out for you? How did you handle what was going on around you and still cut through all the clutter?
Then if I be very straight and upfront with you, it was pure madness. So when I took this call and I thought I'll do it, I spoke to my parents, I spoke to people around. So everybody who met me. So when I told this to my own boss, he said, you've gone mad. Your career is going great. You're the next one in my line. He said, give me your dad's number and name. I want to go and meet him. And I said, boss, I'm not a school kid. This is not a PTM. And every day he would convince one or the other person from my office, from the structure, to go and have lunch with me and convince me out of it every day. And every relative of mine, people who I hadn't met for 10 years, called me up and said, tera dimag kharab ho gaya, tu pagal ho gaya. You want to do something like this, work with children. Parents will never come. So, Lojan, the only thing which was in my head at that point of time, and I can say it came from another education institute called Landmark Education. So, one big thing which I picked up from there was that whatever is having done, at the end of the day, it's your photograph on the wall. That's how life will end, right? A garland around your photograph. So, whether you have $5 in your pocket or zero, or you have 500 crores in your pocket, you'll be a wall, like a photograph on the wall for a few years and then your children will throw that off also. So it's about how do you want to live your life from today to that. I said, I want to do what I really want to do. I know this and I know everybody needs it. If me and Monica, being finance professionals, can do this without a background, then anybody can do it. So let me just jump. Let's see. At 60, do I want to say to myself that I chickened out? And I went the same road because it was an easier road. I was making great money. The career was great. Or do at 60, I want to say that I gave it all. Happen, doesn't happen, I don't know. So that was the choice. And a small incident. Okay, when I was going there to resign and I had the resignation letter in my hand and I had to go up to my boss's room and give it to him. I took it. I went up to his room. It was a glass door. I looked inside. I stood there for a couple of minutes and I turned around and I came back. I did that twice over. Then I called up Monica and I said, Monica, nahi ho raha hai. Kya karu? She She said, if you had gone for another job or career change, would you have done it? I said, yes. I said, that could be. So next time I just went in, I opened his door and I said, Sandeep, I don't want to talk to you. I said, Teer nikal gaya. But it was pure madness. First 3-4 years, everybody. But listen, if you look back, if I look back and anybody says, do you want to change? I would say no. I would want to live it again. Each second of it. It was tough. Maybe I would have done it better this time, next time over, but not a single regret.
Coming to starting this out in 2008, and I'm saying this because I'm a career coach. I work with people at career transition spaces, and it takes a lot of, even the ones who come to me, takes a lot of convincing them on saying, why do you need help? Because the mindset is advice is free, advice hi to chahiye, you know, every, and in our country, we're full of advices, right? Like right from the neighborhood auntie to the panwadi, everyone's giving you advice, including career advices. So when it, and career still, you can, you know, say it's nuanced. Maybe I can't go to my parents because they don't understand the digital age. But parenting has been there from time immemorial. So the idea of parental coaching, how did you even get your first set of clients or first set of people who came and attended your workshops? How did that happen?
So if you ask me, if you go to any parent, okay, any parent in the world, parent who could be selling vegetables or a parent who could be an Adani Ambani in life or an American Japanese Chinese parent, and ask them, do you think there is a gap? 100% of them will say yes. The next question is, do you want to fill that up? The answer is yes. Do you want some skills to do that? The answer is, I'll think about it and get back to you. They will not say no. Nobody will say no, but nobody will say yes. And then first thing was, if you really ask me, that when I started off, I'm a metallurgical engineer, a master's in finance, worked with companies like venture capital funding, banking, insurance, Steel Authority of India. And when I first said, they said, every engineer has this midlife crisis. And everybody thinks that it's easiest to get into education and go to something like that, be a coach. An often repeated thing is that people who do in life, they do it, best teach. So when I used to go to schools and I said, give me some audience, I sat at the receptions for about 6 to 7 hours. And I would come back home without meeting anybody. Go there again. And I did that. I think the first year when I started off 2008, I must have done, I think, 2 or 3 workshops. And I don't think he got paid for it. The first person who paid me for it still denies that I would have not paid you for it. So it's like, it was like that. I went to organizations like HTCD and said, okay, fine, I'll do my sessions free of cost. I went all around. Anywhere anybody would say, okay, okay, chal tu kuch to kar raha hai, sun lete hain. So one of the sessions was in the boardroom of Max Life Insurance when my colleague said, okay, fine, he's been trying something out, let's hear him out. So on a Sunday, we opened the boardroom of our organization with people sitting around who are my colleagues to listen. It's been like that. It started from there, bit by bit by bit. I remember the first parent who actually said, I'm going to go through it. She actually is right now, till before COVID, was a parent coach with us. So having a 3-month-old child and 7-8-year-old child. I mean, sorry, 2-year-old child. It was the first one who took a punt on me and said, okay, fine, let me learn now. So it started by one-on-ones. I actually met up with one of the business coaches of India who was a known guy at that time, was struggling. I was in his office. His wife walked in with some issues, saying the child is having some issues and we need to go to a counselor or a special need person. I said, what are you doing? Can we talk? There's no point going into a special needs stuff or whatever you're talking about. He said, what are you saying? I said, let's talk. So that person, that couple was another one who actually went through the whole process with me. And these really saw that, okay, fine, it's simple. It's not that. They were going something else which could have been avoided, and they avoided it. That was, if you ask me, it was a turning point. Because then that was the person who was talking about it to other people. And slowly we had 5, 10, 15 people started coming in. And then the word of mouth started spreading. That was 2013-14. 2013-14 was, till that time, it was, I think, 3 or 4 of us working together, not taking any money out, maybe 10-15,000 bucks a month.
Well, that sounds interesting. And that also sounds inspiring right now, motivating for me.
I don't know why. I thought the topic of the today's talk was something else.
No, that also does happen. No, but coming, I think I'll come to this question, and I wanted to know your journey, because this has been, as when we talk about parenting as a concept, and at Off Experiences, we work with a lot of young mothers. And the top of the mind question for all of them is parenting. They're struggling with it. So in your experience of working with, especially I would say women, because a lot of careers get disrupted because of parenting as a life stage. So what are the primary reasons, or, you know, what, how and the whys of what causes parenting to slow down a career, or does it even slow down anybody's career?
Does it slow down? The answer is yes. Does it need to slow down? The answer is no. So let's first address that. Why do you people think that it will slow down? Because there are certain myths. And a myth is something which is believed to be true. And it's actually the truth till the time it's not broken. It's like till the time people didn't know that the earth was round, the fact was the earth was flat. Right. When they came to know that it's round is when it became a myth. So till that time, it's a truth. So we are living in a world of certain truths. One, that parenting is a woman's job. It comes naturally to women. One of the biggest myths. I can tell you, women, even breastfeeding does not come naturally. Changing diapers, nobody knows. Just because a man takes a second silence and says, the kaam usi ka hai, a woman doesn't have an option, she has to learn. Now, can I bear a child? That's impossible. That's biological. Beyond that, there's nothing which a woman or a man differentiates. There's nothing. But it's been continuing for millions of years, that it's a woman's job. As soon as that comes in, and it's not a woman's, I won't say it's a man's fault right now. A woman also starts believing that the bachcha hoga, it's my job. I am the nurturer. That role automatically comes in, because I won't even say it's typical orientation. It's not orientation. It's not even stereotyping. When things keep happening over generations, they get into the DNA. So even a woman's DNA starts behaving in a way that, okay, it's my job. Second, people think that it takes time. You need a lot of time for parenting. And that's a bigger one than the first one. Because if you go to anybody, if you go to your own parents, if you go to a school, if you go to teachers, if you go to a principal, if you go to any relative, if you go to any parent coach, first thing they will say, do you spend time with your child? Now, who has the time? Specifically, men don't, because men by default have to provide. A woman still has an option saying, if I have a job, then I can leave. A man can't say that, not in our country, in our world. So they have to work. Now, if they're working 8, 10, 12 hours a day, then they definitely don't have the time. So their role goes out. Woman then gets an option, if I have to leave, then I can leave. But the game, which we need to understand, is that parenting is not a factor of the time you spend with a child. It's not. So when parents come to us and they say, we both are working, we don't have time, I say, wow, thank you. It makes my job a bit less, easier. Versus a parent coming in, oh, I spend 8 hours and 10 hours in there. I give all the time. Then I have to say, okay, there is extra work to be done with you. Because ab jo kaam karte ho, wo kam karawana padega. Yahan to it's great, you don't have time. Perfect. You don't need time. So Aman will be 24 next year. One is about to be 18. That's my children. Between me and Monica, Monica is still a professional. I don't think we spend more than 15 minutes a day with them from the time they were 2 years old.
Okay, that's sounding very counterintuitive to me right now. Also,
and it's not even counterintuitive. It's a myth. So for example, just imagine you being a time before Galileo and somebody coming to you and saying, Rochan, do you know that the earth goes around the sun? It's the sun going around the earth. It gets up, it sets. Are you a nutcase? And by the way, when people said that, people were ostracized. So when I'm saying this is a fact, your mind cannot take it, because that's what you see. But just I'll give you a few proofs. First, if time was a factor, at least the people who are spending more time as parents should be doing a better job, should not have problems, should have less problems. If not all gone, kam to honi chahiye na agar main mehnat kar rahi hu to.
Nahi hota hai. That to doesn't happen. That's for sure. Yeah. That's the constant argument that's always given. So I was raised by working. I mean, my mother was working. And given the fact that and I will give it to that generation a little in terms of their role. So despite the fact that my mother was working 9 to 5, she was still the one who was, you know, getting the kids ready and doing all of that, et cetera, et cetera. And I would sometimes look at it and say that, you know, I have grown absolutely okay or not okay, you know, both ways. I may have my own set of challenges, which my friends whose mothers were not working also do. So it's not, if you say it like that, yeah, it's not that different. Maybe the challenges are different, but it's not like there is anybody without one, is how I would interpret what you're saying.
So let me give you a few. You say that there's no difference. I'm telling you, there's a huge difference. Huge difference. And good that we are, because you'll be talking about this, and people around in the corporate life, and specifically women, working women, who should be listening to this. When you leave your job or leave your career and become a full-time mother for your child, you are doing huge, huge, huge damage.
I mean, I agree with you, but I want to hear more.
I'll tell you what the damages are. Then you will know what the damage is. First thing, if you have a girl child, you are telling her that you can do anything in your life. You can go anywhere in your life. If you want to be a mother, you will have to give up everything. You've killed your daughter's career by this action immediately without even training her. If you have a boy child, you've killed his partner's life by this action. Because the expectation would be, if my mom could leave it, why can't you? So without doing anything, day one, you've created huge problems for either your boy child or your girl child. Second problem, when you give it up, how do you feel about your life? Will you be fully fulfilled, happy, satisfied? No. If you are not happy, you are not satisfied, you are not fulfilled in your own life, if you are not contented, I can bet my life you can't give it to anybody. If I tell you, give me 100 crores, Lochan, de dogi. Dena bhi chahta hogi, de sakti ho. Why? So if you don't have happiness, if you don't are contented yourself, if you're not satisfied yourself, if you don't have stuff, peace in your life, how do you give it to your children? You actually taken it away by this action. You actually damage their life. And once, and you notice, if people do this and they take all the effort to make it happen, I'm sure every parent would have heard this from their child, ki aapne mere liye kiya kya hai. Whether wo gusse mein bola ho ya galti se bola ho, ye wala line aa jata. Then you think that 15 saal, 16 saal, 10 saal, 5 saal, I did so much. I did everything for this bugger. And he or she said this to me. It kills you. It kills your self-esteem. It kills your self-confidence. It just kills you. Uske baad the child can come and apologize 100 times, but the hurt doesn't go. And one more thing, if this is not enough, at 16, 17, 18, they will fly off and you will have nothing to do. The empty nest syndrome is given birth 18 years earlier and people get into depression. Because if you haven't done anything else for 18 years, then you are in a space that I can't do anything else. You've made your child's life your report card. And that's a huge pressure on yourself as a mother. And that's a huge pressure on the child, that he or she now doesn't have to do it for herself or himself, but has to do it for your mom. And then people choose their career, choose their partners, choose what they want to do, choose where they want to stay, depending upon your parents' wishes, which is not fulfilling for both. So I can go on, okay? So if anybody's thinking of dropping a career because of this, my heart jorgen, please don't do that. Please don't damage yourself. Your productivity, their productivity. And if there is a way out. So for example, if I tell you that you can learn these skills and do this in 15 minutes per day, with you being expressed, your child being expressed, you having a great life, they having a great life, you having a great family together.
So speaking of choices, I think even in our experience, one of the things we do here is that a lot of women, especially post-motherhood, they start to relook at their career differently. Maybe, you know, the fact that till now it was, okay, something that I had to get done, and or, you know, maybe I didn't have a choice, or this is what I had studied and therefore I have to do this. But once you have a child and there is the pressure coming on you, you ask yourself, is this the career I want to take up? You know, and do I want to spend time? And we keep saying this, that women start to feel that, look, I have to go to this job, whether, you know, whether I like it or not like it. And I'm going to leave in some ways a crying baby behind. And I don't know if it's worth it. But in your experience, what are the other kind of career choices that women take, or you have seen them taking, and how has that, you know, fructified or if you have any examples to share there and how they've taken a different career path or chosen a different career path post maybe motherhood or at all?
A lot of people, if you ask me, I don't have a percentage here, but if I take a guess, about 50 to 60% of people will do that. So there are two ways. Again, just to complete what I was saying before also, if you as a mother is making a conscious choice for yourself, so for example, you want to say that I am fulfilled raising a child. This is what my self-expression, this is what I want to do in my life. Sure, go ahead. Not because you want to do it for a child. So a lot of people are there who want to be parents, who want to be mothers. Like nurturing children is something which is empowered want from me. Sure, go ahead. So even for a career choice, I would differentiate and request people to make a choice on this. The fulcrum is, are you doing it because this is your self-expression? This is what you want to do. This is what will fulfill you. So people take a job which could be part-time. People could take job now online. People take a teacher's job, a counseling job, or some small effort. Can I write for you? Can I be a copyright? Can I do some edits for you? Sure, go for that. But the choice is not that I don't have the time, I am a mother now. That's the wrong space or question to take this answer from. The place to take this answer from is this what I want to do? Is this fulfilling for me? So, for example, after doing one thing which I keep telling all the parents who join our program, it's a 2 month long implementation program. And which follows up with a lifelong support structure. So people say, yeah, 2 months baad nahi ho payega. They say, don't worry about it. You're there for life. The one thing I tell all the parents is that if you are a full-time mom, even if you loved being that, if it was by choice, please find something else for yourself starting today. Start finding it, because after 2 months, you will have 7-8 hours which you used to spend with your child free now. Now, what will you do? One, you can go back doing the old things and spoil the whole thing, which I really don't want you to do. So start finding, whether it's a hobby, whether it's meeting friends, whether it's roaming around the earth, whether you want to have a job or start a career, you want to work for an NGO, you want to contribute. So plan something out so that you have something to do in the next 6-8 hours.
Which is outside of taking care of the child.
Yeah, absolutely. And please, outside of taking care of the child. So if the choice, as I said, just to sum it up, if the choice is made from me, from my point of view, as a human being, as a person, go right ahead. Any career is great. Now, I made this choice as a career. I had no background of it, really. I did my master's in education 3 years back, just to make sure there's a degree there. I did a diploma in early childhood care and education because somebody said, koi degree le le. Have I learned from people from this background? Yes. So my co-founder, my partner, they're coming from those places of child development, human psychology. So I've learned it, not taken exams of it.
So you said one of the biggest myths or the thing that most women come back to you and say, I don't have the time, I have limited bandwidth. And we hear this a lot as well. So what are some of the related challenges with that you hear? So I have limited bandwidth and therefore I'm not able to do XYZ, right? What are some of those challenges?
Everything. So getting up in the morning and getting your child ready, making sure they're eating well, making sure they're studying well, making those they are getting into those classes. So I mean, making sure if the friends are missing, then I'm with the best friend they have. Making sure they don't get onto the screens too much. Make sure they sleep on time. So believe it, from the time to get up. And by the way, if a child doesn't do their homework, if a child is not studying properly, or if a child is misbehaving in a classroom, and I won't say misbehavior, I'm using the wrong word, nobody misbehaves. Misbehavior is a myth. There is a behavior for a reason. Every behavior is for a reason. There's no misbehavior. You can say it's a misbehavior but the child must be dealing with something. So if a child is not sitting in the classroom, running around, talking, chatting, disturbing, who will be called? And then the expectation is that the mother is going to solve it. So all of that is expected to be done by a mom.
Including the weekday coffee catch-ups with the teachers. I hear a lot of new schools do that, like a Wednesday 9 o'clock catch up with the teachers, with the parents, which invariably only becomes mothers, and all the working mothers are protesting, saying, "You know, how the hell do we make it to these meetings?"
And the people are meeting and actually saying, "Those people, the people who are not there, the working mothers, are making a a huge mistake. And then be something like a sympathy towards them. Oh, his mother is a working mother. That's why. It's like if that's he should be killed for it.